Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever wondered why? Welcome to Mindshifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice. I'm Jeannie Rice, your co-host. We also have co-hosts Dr. Tim Hayes and Michelle Pichet. We will share with you the wisdom of the first century Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. We offer tools and support 5 days a week. We will support you in building a solid foundation within yourself to live in pure love in Aramaic Rachma. Michael is the author of the book, Why Is This Happening to Me Again? For more information about Michael or myself or the forgiveness process, please visit www.whyagain.org. And now, welcome to the show, Mindshifters Radio.
Hello and welcome to Mindshifters Radio. Today is Thursday, October 12th, 2017. And I'm here today alone running the switchboard and talking. So for those of you who might enter in the chat room, please be patient. There may not be much conversation from me, but we're glad you're here. Anyone who wants to listen, anybody who's in there who hasn't signed in can listen to the show. If you want to sign in, you can actually participate in the chat. I will check it occasionally to see if there are any questions or comments. And we're here today to do Mind Shifters Radio once again. This is a tool we've been pleased to be able to use to get knowledge about the ancient Aramaic process of forgiveness out into the airwaves and to support people once they've learned what this tool is, to support them in developing the skill, the practice, the internal discipline, the willingness to look inside themselves and with the application of tools like forgiveness, the ancient Aramaic tool of forgiveness, remove everything that's less than love from inside my mind-body energy system. And the process for that is contained on the 8.5 by 11 sheet of paper that's available completely free. I'd like to mention that you can donate if you'd like to support this work, if you've benefited from it at any point in time. Michael and Jeannie have made the commitment to make these tools available to every mind, heart, and being on the planet, whether they can afford to pay for them or not. And at the same time that they're doing that, they can't do it for nothing. So they give it away for free, and they occasionally put out the call for support and donations, and they do these intensives where they charge people money for the extensive work that has to go into creating a safe, loving environment where there's whole, raw, vegetarian, gourmet food served and people are gathering together with the expressed purpose of being loving and supporting each other in using the tools so that everyone in the group, everybody in the intensive, is very much like somebody who comes to a mind shifter support group. They're there to work on themselves, and they're there to lovingly support anybody else who chooses to apply the tools to work. I don't fix or heal anybody in my therapy practice. I don't fix or heal anybody in the mind shifters group. I just create the space where people can gather and learn about and then apply these phenomenally effective and very accessible tools. One worksheet at a time, one breath session at a time, one EFT tapping session at a time, so that people can demonstrate to themselves. So there's no belief needed. It's all direct observation. I can observe. I'm the one creating my upset. When I'm angry, sad, scared, hurt, or frustrated, if I have any form of negative thought, negative emotional experience, or negative physical sensation, it's absolutely possible for me to identify the energies I'm holding in my energy system, the mind-body energy system, we call it, that are generating that pain and discomfort. There are a whole host of tools available on the website at whyagain.org. The primary tool is the Reality Management Worksheet or Wake Up Sheet. There's also the Mind Shifters tool, which is what the support groups and this radio show are named after, and that's what I refer to as targeted journaling. And it's one of the many tools Michael and Jeannie make available to us so that I can uncover the parts of my mind that I have at one point or another labeled too sad, too scary, too overwhelming, too intense, rage-filled. And so then I've actively used my mind energy to hide those thoughts and beliefs and energies from my conscious logical mind. And tool after tool, whether it's the Mind Shifter tool, which you can think of as targeted journaling, or the tool that is referred to as the three early memories of conflict, or the tool that's referred to as getting the stress you need, the Mind Goal Management Sheet, or a host of other tools that are aligned with Michael's video lectures that are available for purchase on the website. And I think he said he's got 15. He might have 17 different lectures available now. And not every one of them has a tool, but most of them do. And the point of Michael's work and Michael and Jeannie promoting this work is to make available to people very practical tools for improving the quality of their lives. I can use any of these tools, and I have numerous times since learning about them. One tool at a time, one set of upset at a time, I can use these tools to improve my experience of life in the moment and then my quality of life on an ongoing basis. One of the reasons this radio show got started was because Michael and Jeannie would travel around and do a set of workshops in a town and get in on Sunday and do workshops on Sunday and then Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday evening, and then sometimes do an all-day workshop, Still Point Breathing and Mind Shifters, on Saturday, and then they would leave and they would drive on to the next town and start the process up again. And that happened where I live. And there was this, you know, explosion of energy and interest and people getting exposed to thoughts and tools that they'd never imagined before. Were a little bit bittersweet because on the one hand, you know, the bitter part is I have to take responsibility for all of my pain. I'm no longer able to blame outside circumstances or people for anything I don't like going on inside of me. And then the sweet part is once I do that, if I'm equipped with the knowledge of how my energy system works and these very effective tools, I can begin dismantling the pain, the fear, the sadness. So that happened, and there was this group of people that were all excited and talking about, wow, that was a great workshop we had on Monday and Tuesday, and I can't make it to Wednesday, but boy, I'm really looking forward to Thursday's title. And then Michael left, and there was no focal point for people to exchange ideas about these tools, practice them, refine their skills, etc. And that's where the Mind Shifter support group comes in. And so for years, Michael and Jeannie would encourage people to start a support group when they were in a town talking all week long in their workshops. Jeannie even created a document for the website that people could download that talks about what it takes to formulate a MindShifter support group and then run one successfully. And yet, it really was difficult to maintain momentum unless a dedicated group of people pulled together and decided they were going to hold a support group. And then about 6.5 years ago, going on 7 years now, Michael and Jeannie got the opportunity to do this internet show. And so now 5 days a week, 1 hour a day, they make themselves available to teach and support people in gaining expertise and the practice of the application of these tools in their lives. So it's far more accessible, and it's easier for people to maintain the momentum because they can call in the internet show, they can ask questions, they can give their testimonials, or they can present issues they're stuck. And then not just during this hour, you know, noon to one central time, but on an ongoing basis in the archives. You know, a few times recently on the show, I've caught myself giving the old phone number because I spend time going through the archives listening to shows. And for me, it's a fabulous resource to have access for multiple repetitions of this very deep, rich work. And this is what I tell people about. If I'm going to really understand a new concept, and if the concept has any complexity or depth to it, the only chance, the only real chance for me to understand it in depth and eventually be able to apply it in my life is if I continually expose myself to that new material and I expose myself to that new material with this observation. I'm not perfect yet. I don't know everything. So what I think I currently know is either only partially true or completely false. And many, many times in my life, I have been taught things and this is true, this is the way it is, only to discover years or decades later, that's not how it is at all. The structure of an atom, the smallest molecule, the periodic table of elements. When I was in grade school and early high school, they were teaching us about the periodic table of elements, and they said, these are all the elements in the universe. And then eventually, they had to change that because they added a couple. And then they said, then they started to say, well, these are all the elements in the known universe. And they were edging closer to what I have now made a practice of, which is to say, you know, I don't really know that much. Here's what I think I know now. And I'm willing to question it and observe directly. I'm willing to be shown that this is just the tip of the iceberg, because over and over again, that's what happens. It happens in what we call the hard sciences. It happens in my life experience. I remember being, you know, 10, 12 years old and thinking I knew better than my parents. And then I was 16 years old and I looked back and I thought, wow, was I a goofball at 12? And then I got to be 20 and I thought, I really didn't know anything when I was 16. And it's just continued. So, you know, a number of years ago, I finally got sick and tired of fighting for what I knew and relaxed into the observation that I really don't know much of anything. And I bumble around through life like all of the other beings of brilliance and light who have yet to discover their brilliance or have temporarily forgotten it. And I'm just like everybody else. And I'm on this journey of exploration, and the more I can do that journey of exploration with adopting for myself this position of joyful childlike curiosity even when I run into something that's less than love, even when I'm exploring in my unconscious material and something spills out on the paper when I'm doing a mind shifter and it catches in my throat and the tears come, I still have that joyful childlike curiosity in the background running, saying, Tim, this is okay. This has always been here. This doesn't make any appreciable difference in your life. It's all going to work out, even though your conscious logical mind can't figure it out, can't know how. Just breathe and soften and let this negative energy flow through you, because everything that's that negative energy, that's that destructive energy, is literally false. It's literally a false creation. It's a resistance of the flow of life. And it's okay for you to feel it, to be aware of how the conscious logical mind has distorted things in its effort to try and crunch everything down so that it can be understood by your simple logical 9-bit mind. And just breathe and relax and know you're living in this infinite expanding universe. And you have, I think I heard myself say the other day on this show, you're in an embryonic stage, spiritually speaking, experientially speaking, scientifically speaking. Einstein was quoted as saying, all of our science is childlike compared to what actually exists. The energies that are out here that we're swimming in, that are giving rise to our physical bodies that we can't perceive with our ears or our eyes, and we're constantly trying to create new technologies and devices to find out more about what's actually out here. What are we made of? What's the invisible energy around us all about? And so that's the invitation in this work, that we step into all of Michael's work or any true spiritual teaching and get multiple repetitions and be willing to go back again and again with this observation that since I'm not perfect and I don't know everything, then whatever it is that I think I know must be, by definition, through direct observation, it must be only partially true, and perhaps parts of it are completely false. And if I'm willing to breathe and soften and put myself in that student, in that subordinate position to life, there's no limit to what I can learn. Guy Finley says, I can't learn anything unless I put myself in a position that's subordinate to who or what I would learn from. And so in this case, what are we asking to be taught from? We're asking to be taught from life. We're asking to be taught from the energy of creation. We're asking to be taught from that larger mind that connects all of us. And in each new present moment, that's my goal. That's a goal that I can load in and do direct observation from and use to motivate my behaviors, my words, my thoughts, my actions, so that I work, I massage, I build the skill of becoming more of a conduit for that energy of love, that energy of creation, that energy of life, and how it wants to express through me uniquely in each new present moment. So that's what we're here to discuss, talk about, help people apply the tools to make real in their lives. One of my favorite teachers is Guy Finley, and he says, there is nothing more practical than true spirituality. And an example of that would be, we had somebody call in yesterday and say, you know, I've got this real life energy that's negative, that's cloying, that's come up in my life, and it seems to be creating this upset in me. All right, let's apply this mind-body energy work spiritual tool, this very simple process of identifying the emotions you're feeling, identify the thoughts you're using to create that emotion, identify the goal that's not getting met that is contained in that thought that's creating the negative emotion. See with my conscious logical mind how it's all connected. figure out that what I need to do in this moment is understand, I really don't understand. I don't know. So I'm going to cancel the thought and cancel the goal and ask to be shown what's going on in my energy system that's actually creating my pain, my fear, my sadness, my experience of this energy as negative. Breathe into it and watch with that joyful childlike curiosity, watch what can be revealed when I just ask to be shown. Another thing, another one of my favorite sayings from Guy Finley is, the Creator didn't put us in a life where there's a teacher somewhere that we have to search out, that we have to work for decades to find if we're lucky. The Creator put us in life, put us in this experience on the physical plane, in life, with a teacher. The intimate connection, the infinite intimate connection to a teacher that will never abandon us if we simply ask to be taught, if we simply ask to be shown. In each moment, in each event that stimulates sadness or fear or physical pain, and if I'm willing to use the tools, and in this case, the reality management worksheet or wake-up sheet is the primary tool. If I'm willing to make my home in the breathing, consciously focus on what it's like to just be aware of the fact that there's this energy of life coursing through me. There's a process that keeps my heart beating and my breath moving, even when I'm all wrought up with conflict about who's right, who's wrong in this situation, why isn't this traffic moving? You know, I'm so upset because so-and-so died and now I can't go on in life. And when I'm all caught up in all of that stuff, there's still life coursing through me. There's still an energy system that's breathing me, that's looking through me, that's living in me and through me. And so if I'm willing to take a breath and just focus on that miracle of the energy that animates this body and digests the food I ate yesterday and keeps my heart beating when I'm not even thinking about it. And then I ask to be shown from that space of joyful childlike curiosity, how is it that I might be creating a distortion, distorting what actually is through filters, through judgments, through restriction, tension, resistance? How might I actually be creating the pain or the fear or the sadness I'm experiencing in this moment? And I genuinely ask to be shown, worlds can open up to me. New worlds of perception, new worlds of experience, energies that have always been here can begin to move into a space where my experience allows for them to teach me, to lovingly hold me, to be the sweet, gentle, loving teacher that's always been with me, that can't reach through my resistance if I say, no, I'm right, and the world is wrong, and this shouldn't be that way. We are each given the infinite capacity to choose the focus of our conscious awareness in each moment. So we can say, okay, help me out, and then the answers start to come. We say, no, not that answer. I want a different answer. I want an answer that leaves me in charge. I want an answer that says I'm right and they're wrong. I want an answer that says that my little 9-bit mind that says I know how life should work and my car should be running right now instead of stalled on the side of the road and it shouldn't be raining on this day and this person has, you know, they have their nerve to talk to me that way. And if I hold on to those goals to be right, I have the infinite capacity to bat away, to reject the lessons of life, the lessons of love, the lessons of joy, creativity, and expansion that are literally giving rise to my existence in this moment. And I can block my awareness of all of that and focus on what I want and what I think is true and what I think is right and what I was always taught and our belief is this. I can use that as my focus and literally obliterate my ability to experience the flow of life and creation through me in each moment. Or I can choose to take a breath, like Michael has a lesson from the Course in Miracles. He has a whole video on this. It's not quite 2 hours, but he has a video on the Course in Miracles lesson, A New Beginning. And there in the Course in Miracles, and the way Michael clarifies it very, very brilliantly, is here's an awareness that, you know, we as human beings, we're really attached to being right. We're really attached to our ego identification. Even when we're in pain, Guy Finley says, you know, we're raised in a culture where we're taught to think that if I'm angry, that means I'm right and somebody else is wrong. And if I'm in a rage, that's all the more indication that I'm right. That's the proof that I'm right and the other person's wrong. And Guy Finley says, my anger doesn't prove I'm right. My anger only proves I don't know what rightness is. So that same message is coming out in the Course in Miracles in the lesson, A New Beginning. And it says, you know what? It acknowledges, the Course in Miracles and the teacher in the Course in Miracles acknowledges, you know what? You're in this body, you're in this human form, you're in this bloodline of all these generations of conflict and strife and egoic identification. So I know it might be hard for you to accept the fact that you're wrong. So we aren't even going to go there. Let's just recognize that when you're in anger and when you're in fear, it's not very pleasant. So let's just take a breath and say, gee, at least in this moment I can acknowledge I don't like how I'm feeling. This is kind of backing into the idea of letting go of being right. So at least I can acknowledge I don't like it when I'm filled with rage or terror or guilt. You know, bless her heart, Michelle. Michelle was on the phone. I think it was the third or fourth of October, and she was just in such agony. She had such intense guilt and shame and negative emotions going on that she couldn't contain it anymore. And she asked to be helped step through a worksheet. So that's the kind of pressure, that's the kind of pain most of us have to go through in the beginning of our work before we're willing to take responsibility for what we're doing, before we're willing to say, gee, maybe I'm wrong. Most of us can't get to the point where we're living in that, you know, I hardly know anything. I don't really know what's right and what's wrong. I'm just living life. Most of us have to go through this, I'm right, I know I'm right, and they're wrong, and I never should have done that, and that shouldn't have happened, until the pain mounts to such an intense level that we finally say, geez, I'm miserable. I hope there's another way to look at this. And if I can just take a breath when I'm in intense pain, if I can just make my home in the awareness of what it's like to comfortably fill and empty my lungs, and then just recognize, wow, this energy of rage or shame or hate or guilt or fear is so intense, it's not comfortable. Then maybe I can step into, well, since I don't really like how I'm feeling in this moment, I hope there's another way to look at this. I hope there's something I can use. There's someone I can ask. There's something I can ask to get an insight, to get new information, to get a different flow of energy going that's more loving, that's more nurturing, that's more healing and inclusive. And that's what we're inviting people to do, not just once in a while, but the goal is to begin a practice, to begin a daily practice. and then eventually move it from daily to hourly, and then eventually move it from hourly to moment, to be in each new present moment with eyes open, making my home in the breath, understanding all the stuff I've learned in schools is nothing compared to the miracle of life and existence. And that every time I say, oh, I know what's going on, that's a trap. That's my conscious logical mind trying to take over, trying to block me from a living, vibrant experience of being in this creative flow that's endless, to be a part of the creative flow, rather than somebody who steps back from it, looks at it, labels it, judges it, and says, I know I'm right and it's wrong. That the creative flow that causes people to appear in my life who are in pain, who lie, who betray confidences, who steal money, and I say, that's wrong, that's bad, that's horrible. I was listening back to the show in which Michelle stepped through a worksheet earlier today, and I just thought, what a beautiful piece of work. There's two shows from that week that I would just, of course, the whole week was lovely with people calling in with questions. But the show on Monday, I think, is one of the best shows. I've listened to it several times, and I'll probably listen to it several more times before this month is over. That was the show where it was the day after the shooting in Las Vegas, and I had just come off of this beyond words wonderful week with a high school reunion. So that's one I highly recommend. It's some of the things that came out in that show and in response to people's questions, I'm still making notes about it. And then a couple of days later, maybe it was the next day, Michelle did a worksheet. Michelle was in such agony over guilt and shame and beating herself up horribly for memories that she had when she read an old diary of hers about how she was not the perfect mother when her son was an infant. And one of the most powerful things about that worksheet process was that she then, after she went through all the pain and was willing to just keep the breath moving and cry through the tears and experience the gut-wrenching discomfort that was coming from how she created and then clung to this determination that she was a horrible mother and that she hurt her son so much and all that lovely stuff that we do to ourselves on a regular basis. And then she got to the realization that, oh my gosh, this is a bunch of traumatic energy that was in me because I wasn't nurtured and supported and kept safe when I was a young child. And this opens the space for those of us who practice these tools to recognize, oh, wait a minute. I was a power person to my child, and my parents were a power person to me, and their parents were power people to them, and their parents were power people to them. Oh, wait a minute. Maybe it's true. Let me live in this wonderful, beautiful question. What if every human being in physical form, the very best they can with the resources they have in that moment? What if I breathe into that? What if I realize all of the rage that I've been having at my mother or my father for the horrible things that I judged that they did, that I experienced in my creation of reality living with them? What if I wasn't able, after having gone through those experiences and downloading what I downloaded, what if I wasn't able to be the perfect parent to my children? Maybe that opens the energetic window for me to see, oh my gosh, my parents, as harshly as I would judge what they did, were only doing the best they could in each moment with the resources they had, because they were raised by people who were raised by people who were hurt. So if I just breathe and I ask to be shown, how can I live in this question? What might be revealed to me if I live in that question? How might it open the window of compassion for me, not just for my mother, but for myself? I believe this is what Michelle was getting, and one of the many benefits that she got from that worksheet on October 3rd or 4th, whatever it was, is that it opened the space for her to understand, oh my goodness, if I was experiencing life as dangerous and unsafe and unnurturing and unsupported when I was a child, well, it only makes sense that I would have difficulty giving that to my child when things were turbulent in my life and his life when he was an infant. Oh, I see. Maybe the pain I'm feeling is generated internally, and maybe there's a different way to look at this situation, where there's a trade-off. Susan Bingham called in. She said she was reading something from A Course in Miracles where it said, the only sacrifice that we're asked to make in The Course in Miracles is we're asked to sacrifice our fear. So here's the trade-off. Here's the sacrifice I'm asked to make. Can I give up my need to be right and know that what my dad did was so horrible that I have a right to be angry about it? Can I give that up in exchange for knowing everybody's doing the best they can in each moment with whatever resources they have? Knowing if my father did something that I judge as harsh or wrong or violent or punitive, that it must be that when he was young, these things were done to him. And no matter how diligently I try to focus on the positives, if I'm carrying negative energies and traumatic experiences in my energy system, when they get resonated, they're going to drive my behavior unless I am awake. If I'm awake, I can feel those energies be resonated and choose from the place of observation and awareness a different response. If I'm asleep, and most of us are asleep, Guy Finley says, we're all captives. And we're a captive every time we're feeling a negative emotion. And the only way out of that process of captivity is to wake up and observe that we're in captivity. And then resist the urge and the conditioning from our culture which says, do. It's not okay to just be. You got to do something different. You got to find the solution. You got to work it out with your conscious logical mind. You got to prove you're right and the other person's wrong, or prove that they're right and you're wrong, and judge yourself harshly and beat yourself up, and all of that falderal and fiddly-dee that we do at the conscious logical level that results in physical aches and pains, a cycle of negative thoughts, and negative emotions that at times can be, as they were for Michelle last week, excruciatingly uncomfortable. And so in the beginning, when I start a journey like this, I want to step into the idea that maybe I can recognize, you know, it's really hard for me to say I'm wrong. It's really hard for me to sit back and just relax and assume I really don't know much of anything. But at least I can step into the observation that I don't like how it feels when I'm this sad, this angry, this grief-stricken, this fearful. And if I can step into that observation, then I can take a breath and move into the next space, which is to say, I hope there's a different way to look at this. I ask to be shown a different, better way, a more inclusive, more loving, more nurturing worldview in this very moment. Guy Finley has a whole talk he does about there's always a bigger story going on, especially whenever the story I'm telling myself results in a negative emotion. There's always a bigger story. And in this work, the invitation is recognize when the story I'm living in, you know, the story I'm telling myself, this is from Brené Brown. She has this technique that she and her husband use, and she claims it's really saved their relationship on a number of occasions. Whenever one of them gets triggered, rather than continuing to blast from their anger or their fear or their sadness, they take a breath and they say to their partner, okay, the story I'm telling myself now is, and they lay out what the events are that they think happened, what their interpretation was, and what they're making that mean in their life. And when they do that, that's a living tool for applying one of the primary processes in this work, which is I want to take full responsibility for the perception I'm creating and for the thoughts, emotions, and physical sensations I'm generating from that perception I'm creating in each new present moment. So if I breathe into that, I say, wow, the story I'm telling myself is I'm right, this person's wrong, life is wrong here, this isn't fair, life should be fair, and it's not fair according to the definition that I've outlined here. And Guy Finley says in his presentation, that's just one of an infinite number of stories, and there's always a bigger story. There's a broader, more inclusive, more loving, more flexible, more integrative story available in every moment. And we aren't taught about that. We're taught from the conscious logical mind to trust our perception as though it's just a recording device. That when I open my eyes and I look at something or I hear something that someone says, that I'm just an innocent receptor exactly what's happening. And many, many experiments demonstrate to us, and there are many life experiences that I coach people to watch for in their day-to-day lives as they're living after they come to see me the first time or two, that demonstrate my perception is not just recording reality. My perception is this intensely active process that creates and constructs a reality for me that is oftentimes radically different and always slightly different than the people sitting next to me, walking alongside me, living in the same house, attending the same school, in the same store, created by the goals I'm holding and the filters that are set in my mind and the raw material of traumatic energies, loving energies, skills, deficits that are my inheritance, that are my life experience up until that point in time. That's what's creating my reality in each moment. And the thing that determines what's going to get recruited from my past, my energetic and genetic pasts, and what I learned as I watched my parents interact through life and what I got from my good friends in the high school and grade school years, what determines which of those things are going to be pulled together in this moment to create my present moment perception is the goal I'm holding. And so with knowledge of how this process works, with the ability to observe directly and drop the need to believe or prove that I'm right and someone else is wrong, I can literally, moment to moment, engage a process that lets me collapse the false perception. And the definition in this work for false perception is anything that resonates hostility or fear in any of its various forms. And once I've collapsed that by canceling the goal that's driving the perception my mind is creating, I can step through the window that's opened. An energetic window is opened when I cancel a goal and collapse the perception. And I can step through that window by genuinely, willingly asking to be shown, by recognizing in this new present moment with direct observation, I don't know everything, which means what I think I know must be only partially true and perhaps even completely false. And it's okay. I'm a wreck. I'm like Michelle was, you know, last week. Guy Finley says in one of his talks, I'm a wreck. You're a wreck. He says, say it with me. I'm a wreck of a person when I'm in anger or fear. And it's okay. Because unless I can acknowledge that I don't know what's going on and that I don't like how I'm feeling and that I can't figure this out with my conscious logical mind, if I can't acknowledge that, I can't change it. If I choose a perception that says I'm right and everybody else is wrong, this shouldn't be happening this way, and I hold on to that, it doesn't matter how many other times and other thoughts of my mind saying, gee, I wish it wasn't like this, as long as I go back and grab onto that goal to be right, no matter what other answers may come, it'll be like I'm just batting them away. Key in this process is recognizing everything I'm experiencing moment to moment is literally driven by whatever goal I'm holding. And it's recruiting energies, thoughts, perceptions, traumatic energies from my past, et cetera, behavior patterns that I've been conditioned to automatically respond. That's what's being used to create my experience of life in every moment. So if I don't like what I'm experiencing and I'm willing to take a breath, and just step through this simple process. Here's the emotion I'm feeling. What's the thought I'm using to create that emotion? What's the goal that's not getting met that is contained in that thought? Let me cancel both that thought and that goal and ask to be shown something else. Watch what happens. The tension in my body starts to soften and fade. My perception expands. Opportunities, options for viewing things differently come to my mind in a way that they simply can't come when I'm holding on to my goal. And over again, we have people who say, yeah, but, you know, what's the most important of these rules? And what's important here? How do I find out the specific goal I'm going to cancel? These are things that have come up in this show because people have been willing to raise a hand and ask a question. And they're some of the most beautiful, effective ways to look at things slightly differently. You know, at one point in a past show, it came to me to mention the five keys to the kingdom from Way of Mastery. And Michelle said, okay, but which one's the most important? And I heard myself say, I'd never rehearsed this, never thought about this. This isn't coming from the great and powerful Dr. Tim. This just came flowing out of me. Well, listen, if you've got a combination lock on the safe and hidden in the safe is the keys to life and creativity and joy and aliveness, and it's a combination lock with five numbers in the combination, none of them is more important than the other. You need all five to get the safe open and get access to this creative life. In another show, Susan Bingham called and said, you know, what if I can't find it? What if I can't find it as the source of my fear? And I took a breath and I chuckled and I heard myself say, you know, it strikes me to say, that's kind of like wanting to find corn that gave rise to this 300-year-old oak tree. Where did that come from? It didn't come from my creative mind. It came from a flow. It came from me just taking a breath. Here's a question. I haven't exactly heard it asked this way before. What if I can't find it, as though there's this finite point that is the source of the fear I'm feeling? I just took a breath and said, hey, wait, guess what popped into my head? An image of an acorn. The acorn has to give up its form in order for an oak tree to arise. So 300 years later, there's no trace of the acorn that gave rise to the oak tree. And yet, the effects of the energy patterns and the creative force flowing through that acorn is everywhere. It's in the roots and the sap and the bark and the branches and the countless acorns that that tree has spawned over the last 300 years and the countless other trees that have grown from that, etc. So if I'm in this rut of the conscious logical mind trying to figure it out, I get trapped looking for what is it that I need to fit? What is the perfect goal? What's the best way to do this? And as we keep trying to help people understand in this work, that's a trap. Me trying to figure it out with my conscious logical mind is a trap. Just like me saying, oh, I know what's going on here, is an absolute hallucination of the conscious logical mind. We're swimming around in an energy system that's far more complex than our senses give us even a hint of. As Einstein said, we're like cats and dogs walking around in human libraries. We, as we live in the world today, are swimming in so many different dimensions of possibility and energies that aren't even registering in our eyes and our ears and our kinesthetic senses, and we think we know what's going on. We don't. So every time we have the thought, oh, I know what's going on, that's a trap. And the only way out of the trap is for me to acknowledge, oh, I really don't know anything. I don't know when I was created or who created me. I don't know what any of my brothers or sisters around me need in this moment. I don't know how the planets are spinning in alignment. So if I can breathe and recognize the trap, I can also recognize what I hear from, you know, great spiritual teachers like Dr. Michael Rice and the research done at great institutions like Harvard and other places that say, you know what, in 1/25th of a second, there are 10,000 units of electrical activity firing in my brain. During that same period of time, if I'm really focused and paying attention, I'm going to be able to be aware of 9 single bits out of the 10,000 that my brain is processing. In that same period of time, the estimation is, and it's probably an underestimation, there are 20 trillion bits of information hitting my senses. I'm living in a 20 trillion bit world. I'm able to be processing with my mind at the physical level, with the unconscious, etc., 10,000 bits out of the 20 trillion. And my conscious logical mind grabs onto 9 single digits and says, aha, I know what's going on here. Please take a breath and join me in recognizing how silly that is. Breathe into it and think about, you know, have you ever talked to a 2 or 3-year-old just as they're just gaining language, or a 5 or 6-year-old who's been through a couple kindergarten classes and read a few books, and they want to tell you what life is all about? That's what each of us, regardless of our level of experience and years studying and doing forgiveness work or other spiritual, you know, eating carrot quiche and being hit on the head with peacock feathers or whatever it is that we do that's spiritual, regardless of how long we've been doing that, we are still in the embryonic stage. If we're still in the body, we're just beginning to comprehend just the tiniest bit of the fringes of what there is to experience in life. And the words we use can't capture life or the experience of life. The great spiritual teachers throughout the years, Krishnamurti was one that I cut my teeth on years ago, he constantly kept saying, the word is not the thing. When I say the 300-year-old oak tree, that's a phrase. There's nothing in that. If you've never stood next to, underneath, hugged a 300-year-old or a 600-year-old oak tree, that phrase means nothing. And even after you've had that experience of leaning into a 600-year-old tree, you recognize the words mean nothing compared to the experience. So everything about our life is far more deep and rich and connected and loving and nurturing than anything our conscious logical mind can comprehend. That's why we invite people to learn and then apply the tools that are available in this work. Because every time I pick up a tool and actually apply it, I usher myself into an experience that's radically, fundamentally different, that goes beyond words in a heartbeat, that takes me to the realization that, oh my goodness, up until about 5 minutes ago, I thought I was feeling this anger or this fear or this sadness because this person did or didn't do that, or because my life is unfair, or because that person died and isn't with me anymore, because the list of becauses goes on endlessly. And I can recognize, if I apply the tool, when my energy shifts after the direct application of the tool, and nothing outside me has changed, oh my gosh, that was all a lie. The thought that I'm angry because was all a lie. The thought that I'm in grief or sadness because someone's not here was all a lie. The only reason I'm feeling this, experiencing this, is because it's the perception my mind is creating based on the goals I'm holding and my energetic and genetic past. I call it the energenetics, what I received from both mother and father and the bloodline that goes back infinitely. Oh my goodness, one worksheet process at a time, one tapping session at a time, one goal canceled at a time, I recognize that was all a lie. That was all hallucination. I feel completely differently and nothing outside me has changed. Wow, I can step into an experience of myself and of life that goes beyond words in a heartbeat. And that's the invitation in this work. And please make available to yourself time to go back and listen to shows from the archives. Pick whichever ones you like. I talk about December 30th, 2015. I talk about October 14th. 2015, I talk about now, October 2nd, the day after the shooting in Las Vegas. Powerful show. Delt worksheet show a day or two later. So we're out of time. Thank you all for being here. Come on back again tomorrow. We'll probably hear from Michael and Michelle about the intensive. And in the meantime, please use the tools to actively make your life better. It's a wonderful gift to give yourself and the world around you.
Thank you for listening to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and myself, Jeannie Rice, and Dr. Tim Hayes and Michelle Pache, as we present the first century Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. We are here every Monday through Friday from 1 to 2 o'clock Eastern Time on Mindshifters Radio. For more on Michael or myself or Aramaic forgiveness, please visit www.whyagain.org. That's www.whyagain.org.